Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, by the way, can we reduce waiting time at Nobles Hospital? How about 10,000 electric car charging points for the Isle of Man? What is the law of adverse possession and why is it important? Do you consider yourself kind and compassionate? And Pudsey, the Children in Need Bear, has visited the Mayor of Douglas.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
29 minutes to 6, time for the news headlines. Faster Mai, Rhiann Evans.
Faster Mai. An MLC wants government to look into adverse possession laws. Kate Lord Brennan is moving to see a committee established following a petition for redress on the topic. Flood defence work can't be rushed, according to the island's chief minister. Howard Quayle insists it's important the £60 million put aside to reduce flooding on the island is used effectively. A teenager has appeared in court after posting drugs to the wrong address. The 17-year-old pleaded guilty to one count of producing MDMA to the Isle of Man. Pudsey the Bear is touring the island during a visit to see how people are getting on raising money for children in need. The charity mascot visited the Mayor of Douglas earlier today. From further afield, we're told President Trump isn't watching the first public hearing in an inquiry that could eventually see him kicked out of office. He denies claims he withheld funding for Ukraine until the country agreed to investigate one of his political rivals. Boris Johnson's been giving his first big speech of the election campaign, promising he'll get Brexit done if he wins a majority. Earlier, he was heckled by flood victims as he visited Stainforth in South Yorkshire, with one woman telling him he should have come sooner. And it looks like our post won't be disrupted ahead of the general election or in the run-up to Christmas. Royal Mail has won a High Court injunction to block potential strikes by workers. Manx Radio headlines, I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
And Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or follow us on Facebook.
28 minutes to 6 now.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From the Ronalds Way Met Office and Met Officer Kirsty Pendlebury, there's a strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On land, a dry night in prospect with strong wind backing north to northeasterly. The overnight minimum temperature 3 degrees. For Thursday, Jourdain, we're looking at a nice day, dry and sunny with strong northeasterlies and 7 degrees. And Friday, Jehenia, dry and breezy with sunny intervals. Daytime maximum is 8 degrees. Sunset at 23 minutes past 4 earlier this afternoon. Sunrise in the morning at 17 minutes before 8 a.m. The late high water tonight, 21 minutes to midnight. Low water in the morning, 9 minutes past 6 o'clock at the lunchtime. High tide for Thursday at 3 minutes to midday.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
In support of the Manx government's climate emergency announcement, 1MHK is supporting aims to have 10,000 electric car charging points on the Isle of Man by 2030. The chairman of Manx Utilities, Dr. Alex Allenson, MHK, has been discussing the company's contribution to the effort. Currently on the island, there are 28 charging points in 15 different locations. At the moment, the charging points are free for all to use, but not for much longer, with the plans to start charging you towards the end of the year. Dr. Allenson spoke to Manx Radio's Rhiann Evans.
The charging points we provide are free at the moment, and this was really to give people the reassurance who wanted to invest in electric cars and to try to increase the uptake of electric cars. However, that's going to be stopping towards the end of this year. We provide a very good tariff in terms of home charging, and most people will be able to take advantage of that. But for those people who don't have access to off-road parking, we need to make sure that there are charging points provided for their use, and also for visitors. So towards the end of the year, we will be instituting charges for the electricity people use. We're going to make sure that that's competitive, that that's good value for money. But we're now at the point where we have over 313 electric vehicles on the road. More and more cars are coming online. And now I think it's absolutely right that people pay for the electricity that they use.
How much do you think it'll cost?
That's a very good question. We haven't agreed the price yet. We're currently in negotiations with some of the providers of charging infrastructure in the UK to make sure that we can use the best billing process possible. The electricity will be provided by Manx Utilities, and we need to make sure it's competitive so that people have got the option. However, we also need to make sure that we do get some return for the investment in the infrastructure there. So whilst it may be a little bit more expensive to charge on the streets than it is from your home, we still need to make that affordable to encourage the uptake of electric vehicles.
Talking about plans for the future, it's previously been stated that the aim is to have 10,000 charging points by 2030. And to do that, you want to install 30 charging points a year. What progress has been made on this, and how many charging points have been installed this year so far?
In terms of this year, we were still in the process of putting points, for instance, on Douglas Prom and in Laxey. We've put in, I think, 2 or 4 charging points so far this year, and we're gradually, as various schemes develop, going to be increasing that. What I don't want is for loads and loads of streets to be cluttered up by charging points. So we've been working quite closely with the DIY, looking at some of their traffic surveys and parking surveys, so that we put the charging points in the right place.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 24 minutes to 6. A petition which was presented to Tynwald members on Tynwald Day this year is worthy of investigating in the public interest, according to an MLC. Kate Lord-Brennan wants her colleagues to look at a contribution from this year's ceremony which relates to the law of adverse possession and claims to land on the Isle of Man. She's putting forward a motion which would see 3 members consider and reports on the contents of the petition. But not all of the petitions we see every July are taken up by a member of Tynwald. So why this one? What caught Kate Lord-Brennan's eye?
If the motion for a committee is successful, then it would allow us to have an organised way to look at the petition, the wider implications of how this is working. However, it would also require a committee to examine really the equity of arms in terms of how the cases like this in the courts, and you know how that is dealt with insofar as is there an equity of process as to how these things are being handled.
Is there a perception we're behind other jurisdictions on that front? Do you think you mentioned a comparison with the UK?
Well, it would be to benefit for the committee to investigate exactly what the situation is, but certainly from some initial research, you know, it's quite clear to me that in recent years there have been developments in the UK, particularly through different aspects of case law. So I think it is really worthwhile and in the public interest to look at this matter to do with adverse possession.
Is it a committee you would like to be a part of?
I'd be very happy to be a part of it, absolutely.
And more generally, I mentioned at the beginning that not all petitions for redress we see presented at Tynwald Day do get taken up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a trend you'd like to see more of?
I think we are seeing more of it, actually. Certainly this year, though, I think there was about 26 petitions. There was a time when so few petitions were investigated that there was a call to review how this process is actually operating. But I think with this, it is actually the process in action, and Tynwald members are picking up petitions. There was one petition that was picked up in the last sitting of Tynwald and a successful motion for a committee. Mm-hmm.
Because we often hear Tynwald members say what an important function it is about Tynwald Day, and what an important kind of democratic process it is, whereby people have the right to petition. So there's maybe a bit of hypocrisy, perhaps, if they aren't taken up in a way. Do you think?
It's an assessment that individual Tynwald members have to make as to, I guess, what the potential outcomes or the benefit of exploring, because anybody can take that petition to Tynwald Day, and it is really an ancient tradition, and it's something that was brought up again to enliven it, if you like, revived in 1957. And I think it's really good, actually, that is happening, certainly with the current setup of Tynwald members.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6, the Ben McCree departed Heesham at 6 minutes past 2, arriving in Douglas about 10 minutes ago, they say, leaving Douglas this evening at 7:45, heading to Heesham and docking in Heesham at 11:30 this evening. No wind warnings to disrupt the Ben McCree's progress. And of course, if you want more information, go to steam.com. steve-packet.com.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com. Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Well, Christmas is on the way. However, the toy sales apparently have slumped in UK shops. Caution amongst UK shoppers has led to a tough year so far for toy retailers. Parents search for deals and cut back on impulse buys. UK toy sales were down 8%. In the year so far, compared with the same period last year, leaving retailers dreaming of a bumper Christmas. But economic uncertainty and Brexit planning could lead to shortages of the most popular toys. Others may be sold off cheaply if sales fail to match retailers' expectations. If you're a fan of chocolate, Mars is the first major confectionery company to offer a vegan, plant-based alternative to milk chocolate. The American maker of M&M's and Snickers confirmed today it's going to put on sale in Britain a vegan range of Galaxy chocolate in three flavours, caramelised hazelnut, caramel and sea salt, and orange. And the catch? A 100-gram bar will set you back £3, three times the price of a normal Galaxy bar. Vegan Galaxy apparently goes on sale next week.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Well, UK and European stocks closed lower amid concern over the US-China trade talks, while investors monitored comments from the Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The US dollar was stable after October consumer price inflation was greater than expected, and the Fed Reserve Chair offered an optimistic outlook for the economy, further solidifying the case for a central bank to pause the monetary easing cycle. In corporate news, British Land retreated as it reported a drop in first half profits and the value of its portfolio amid challenging retail markets. In the 6 months to the end of September, underlying pre-tax profit fell to £158 million from £175 million the year before, while underlying earnings per share were down 6.4% to 16.1p. Meantime, revenue declined 34% to £328 million and the value of its portfolio fell 4.3%, with retail valuations down 10% and office valuations up 0.4%. On the markets at the close, the FTSE 100 was up 0.2% at 7,351. The DAX in Germany up 0.5% at 13,230. Shortly after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones in New York was up 0.1% at 27,725. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index in New York was slightly up at 8,480, and the S&P in Chicago slightly up at 3,094. On the exchange markets, the pound is worth $1.28.3 and is worth $1.16.6. In the commodities world, gold was trading 0.3% up at $1,462 per ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude will set you back $62.40, up 0.5%.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
The Department of Health and Social Care has work to do reducing waiting time for medical treatment on the Isle of Man. According to the department's minister, David Ashford, MHK, latest figures show more cancer patients are now being seen within the two-week target, but there's been an 8% drop for inpatients having an appointment within 6 months. Mr. Ashford told Manx Radio's Tim Glover the current situation isn't good enough.
I've never made any bones about it since the day I took on this job. I most certainly am not happy with the current waiting list position. I've stated that in Tynwald Court and Keys, and that's why we now have a 5-year plan in place to move to an 18-week referral to treatment target.
Our survey that we ran just leading
it's the
up,
top.
It's
yeah.
massively
it most
at the
certainly
top of the
is.
List is the hospital and waiting list.
And quite rightly, I should say, I was delighted actually when that survey came out, because it is something that people should be paying attention to and people should be taking an active interest in, because it's absolutely essential essential that we get the health service right, because let's be honest, if people don't have their health, then it affects everything else that they do in their life.
But how are you going about the whole appointments regime at Nobles? Because that is contributing, isn't it, to waiting lists?
Again,
no,
I've made
with no shows.
Again, I've made no bones about it that you know, I think the appointment system has to change. We need to have a more joined up appointment system across the entire of the health service, not just the hospital. By the way, don't forget there's things, particularly with the Sir Jonathan Mike report, we need to be getting more community focused. So we need to get better at the working between the acute unit and the community services.
But you can't afford having the high volumes of no-shows you get at the moment.
Well, there is a high volume of no-shows, and we are doing various things to try and combat that. One of the things I'm very keen on seeing progressing is the text reminders. We've had those for things like doctor's surgeries and so on for a while. I know it's been being trialled in one specialist area, but the sooner we can get that up and running and rolling out, the better. Again, with no-shows and cancellations, let's not forget sometimes cancellations are down to the needs of that individual patient, as in they look like they're getting ready to go for an operation and then they're not fit enough or they're not well enough. That would show as a cancellation because it's been stopped and moved. So it's not quite as simple as just thinking there's a load of people who don't show up.
We've talked about this for many years. When are we going to see results?
Well,
when are we going to see appointment reminders at the hospital going out?
Well appointment reminders do go out. So, for instance, something that one of my family had recently.
Not with every department.
They got a reminder. No, and that's why I'm saying we need a joined up system. There's already moves going on. We've already seen some progress in, for instance, the discharge lounge that is helping with turnover through the hospital. There's more follow-ups in the community that are starting to come online. So, to, you know, any suggestion there's not progress being made. You said yourself with the waiting times are coming down. We recently did a study actually.
In some areas, let's emphasise.
The former director of hospitals actually did a study recently around waiting times in the Isle of Man up at Nobles compared to similar waiting times in the UK. Across 15 specialities, and in 8 of those, our average wait was either below the UK or equal to it.
Manx Radio Sport. 13 minutes to 6. Here's Chris Cave.
Faster Mai will start with hockey in second place in Rossborough Mixed Division 1. Take on second place in Rossborough Mixed Division 2 this evening. The prize, a place in the semi-finals of the Manx Plate. Backers B head into tonight's encounter as favourites against their lower league opposition Vikings C. Vikings beat Valkyrs C 4-3 in the last round, while Backers B needed penalty strokes to get past Valkyrs B. Pushback at the NSC this evening is 8:35. Further afield, England's record caps holder Peter Shilton feels the scrutiny of the national team meant Gareth Southgate felt he had to act by dropping Raheem Sterling. Southgate has faced some criticism for leaving out the forward for tomorrow's Euro 2020 qualifier against Montenegro. It was after the City player clashed with Liverpool's Joe Gomez at their training camp. Shilton says that sort of thing isn't uncommon in football.
I've seen it over the years, players lose the rag with each other, but basically you just shook hands and got on with it and it was just part and parcel. But I think Gareth, because of the media attention these days as well, you can't keep something like that a secret.
Manchester City midfielder Bernardo Silva has been banned for one match and fined £50,000 for a tweet he sent to teammate Benjamin Mendy. He compared a picture of Mendy in his youth to the mascot of a Spanish chocolate company. The Portugal international deleted the post afterwards. Silva has also been made to attend an education course. Former Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger has been named as FIFA's new chief of global football development. The Frenchman has been out of work since leaving the Emirates Stadium in the summer of 2018. He'll be responsible for overseeing and driving the growth and development of football for both men and women around the world. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Nothing to report as far as the Matrix signs across the Isle of Man. Everything's fine there. Elsewhere on the roads, Victoria Road in Douglas has got temporary four-way 24-hour traffic lights in operation. There's an emergency gas leak. They're hopefully going to repair it. They say the latest is going to be the 22nd of this month, or as soon as the gas leak has been mended. Douglas Road, Ballasalla, still that temporary two-way 24-hour traffic signals in operation, enabling service connections for the new housing estate and the Balfane bypass. The Currocks Road, St John's, Foxdale Road, St John's, that is, closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Access to the tip is via the Hope. Of course, still that temporary closure through until the, well, temporary, it's till the 7th of February next year at the Churchill Rental Hill and the junction with Mallorca Hill in Laxey. Of course, Laxey remains open for business. And by the way, if you want to find out all about travel across the Isle of Man, for your guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive summary of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks, and the ongoing saga of Lock, Harris Central and Queen's Promenades at magsradio.com. Currently at the airport, everything inbound okay. A few laties, the 10 past 5 BA to London City left half an hour. Currently the 25 to 6 Dublin and the 5 to 6 o'clock Edinburgh run just slightly late. And by the way, at maxradio.com via the community tab, should you want, there's a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670145.
How often do you do something kind for someone you don't know? When was the last time you did something kind for somebody you didn't even know? Well, recently celebrating its first birthday, Compassion Isle of Man aims to create a social movement to support and help people in our community. The charity works with hospice and is mother to a number of projects, including Back Home Box for people leaving hospital who live alone, and Friend to the End, an end-of-life care initiative. Jeanette and Wendy from Compassionate Isle of Man told Tia Welsh they hope to inspire others to spread small acts of kindness in the community.
By 2030, the island will have probably the oldest of the old living on it, according to the World Health Organization. So from that point of view, we really need to look at how we can support our community now and not in 10, 15 years' time. We have to be prepared because 2030, I'm going to be a retirement age. You know, I'm one of those people. So let's look at it now and start thinking about what we can do to support each other.
We've set up things like social cafes and knit and natters, and the reason around that is anyone can go. You know, it can be young mums who are, you know, got children and need to get out of the house because, you know, they can drive you mad, can't they, kids? And, you know, it can be people of an older generation. But what we've done is we've actually given people a purpose. So part of the reason for getting people out of the house is saying, like, well, can you come along and knit a blanket for us to go in our Back Home Box? So the people feel that they are giving something. But it's actually a win-win because it's getting them out of the house as well.
What's the most compassionate thing a stranger has done that has stuck with you?
It's anything from, you know, when you're on an aeroplane and you're lifting your suitcase above your head and somebody offers to do it for you. It can be just somebody smiling, you know, when you're having a bad day and you go past and somebody's like, just lit up and you think, do you know what, that's just so beautiful. It doesn't have to be big, and they are random, and that's, you know, what makes it special.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I don't think it's not necessarily the big gesture. Sometimes it's the smallest thing, and I can't, because you put me on the spot, I can't think of anything now, but I think it's, I don't know, just it is the small thing, isn't it? You know, something so small can make such a big difference to your day. And I always think it's just nice to pass that on where you can, really. But I can't think of the specific.
One of the things that we've said that really sort of took us, it was unexpected, but absolutely wonderful, was when we'd sent out our request for volunteers to help us, the reply and the response was like 5 minutes. And you think, you know, people are living busy lives, but they've actually responded and said, okay, what can I do to help? And that's 5 minutes after sending a request out. So that's really phenomenal.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The face of the BBC's Children in Need, Pudsey the Bear, is touring the Isle of Man. This afternoon, Pudsey visited the Mayor of Douglas, John Jockin. In the capital, Mr. Jockin told Manx Radio the visit had been a privilege, but first Pudsey's helper, Bal Jandu, said what else Pudsey's been up to.
So Pudsey's been very busy this week. He's been out and about visiting nurseries, local schools. This afternoon we're going to Rebecca's house, and tomorrow we'll be visiting the children's ward as well at Nobles.
What's reception been like? Pretty excited, I would guess.
Yeah, all the children are really excited to see Pudsey. He gets a great big warm welcome, lots of waves, and a lot of them have been working hard painting pictures for Pudsey, which Pudsey really likes.
not just the children. I saw a little smile on your face when Pudsey appeared. This is quite a big deal, isn't it?
Well, I think it's great. Pudsey's got that feel-good factor, I think, hasn't he? You know, and we know the children need such a marvellous national charity and all the good works that it goes through. It's been going for so long now. It's an institution, you know. My daughter is in a nursery. All her children have been painting pictures of Pugsy. They're very good pictures as well, they were Pugsy's, but unfortunately you weren't there. It's definitely for the feel-good factor, and it's such a nice thing to do, and it's such a great thing, charity, to be involved in. It's a real pleasure to have them here.
And if you look online at manxradio.com, there's also a video of our own Dollar Mercer with Pudsey the Bear. After the news at 6 o'clock tonight, Spotlight, our performing arts programme with Sarah Hendy, Ramsey Town Band, and your chance to represent the Isle of Man at next year's Lorient Festival. Well, at the age of 16, he plays for one of the world's biggest football clubs. He has more than 2 million followers on social media, and he doesn't even play for the first team. His name is Xavi Simons. A sport that's littered with scores of promising teen prodigies and even more broken dreams, he stands out. He's Dutch. He's the former captain of the Barcelona youth team and a four-time winner of the Youth Ballon d'Or Award. He plays in midfield for Paris Saint-Germain. He's got 2.1 million followers on his Instagram account alone and has landed a sponsorship deal with Nike. He's yet to play a first team game for Paris Saint-Germain. He plays for the under-19s. He, of course, is a millionaire. Look out for him, Xavi Simons. That's it for Update. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Sarah Hendy, I'm Andy Wint, back at the same time tomorrow for another Update.